We present The Rose and the Ring by William Makepeace Thackeray, adapted for radio by Ellen Dryden, with Prunella Scales as the Fairy Blackstick, Maureen Lipman as Countess Gruffenuff, Clive Swift as Valoroso, and Roger Allam as Thackeray.
Anything, have you?
Let Mr. Thackeray get through the door.
I knew he wouldn't. They just don't understand what Christmas is all about in Rome.
Wise child, but I'm afraid you're right, Georgie. There is not a magic lantern nor a single Twelfth Night character to be had for love nor money.
Oh.
And when I described the pictures of the king, the princess, the dandy and the lover I wanted, the shopkeepers shook their heads sorrowfully and laughed at me behind their hands for an eccentric Englishman.
Oh, why do we have to be here for Christmas? So boring.
Yeah. Did you get any cakes at all from Mr. Spillman?
Oh, if you eat any more cakes, you'll grow so fat you'll burst.
That we do, Anne. Remember your manners, please. You too, Bertie. Pastries have to be earned by good behaviour.
I did take the liberty of bringing up some of Mr. Spillman's tartlets and petit fours, Miss Bunch, to make up for my lamentable failure in finding anything at all for our Christmas entertainment.
You are too generous.
Rome is very fine. It's just that a Christmas party without a magic lantern show doesn't seem like Christmas. Thank you for the pastries, though. They are truly splendid.
Mm. But what are we going to do when we've eaten them?
You're very quiet, Annie. What's going on in that head of yours? Have you found the answer to our problem?
No. No, I haven't. It's just that I was thinking that your drawings are every bit as good as any Twelfth Night characters I've seen.
Yes, you're quite right, Anne. Mr. Thackeray, these ungrateful, ill-mannered young persons don't deserve it, but could you draw the characters for us?
Oh, please.
Oh, please.
If I draw the characters, Miss Bunch, you must help me compose their history, if you would.
I should be delighted.
And we can have whatever we choose in our own story. What do we want?
A princess and a handsome prince.
A wicked king. A lost kingdom.
A good fairy.
Battle.
A foolish dame.
Let's have two of everything. Two kingdoms, two kings, two princes.
Two princesses.
One silly and one sensible.
Lions.
Magic.
A rose and a ring.
Our own pantomime.
A fireside pantomime for great and small children. And a little joking and dancing and fooling will do even the elder folk no harm. Now, Miss Bunch, if you'd be so good as to provide me with a sketchbook and pencil, we can search for the right words and pictures for our pantomime. This is Valoroso the 24th. King of Paphlagonia, seated with his queen and only child at their royal breakfast table, and receiving the letter which announces to His Majesty a proposed visit from Prince Bulbo, heir of Padella, reigning king of Crim Tartary. He is so absorbed in the perusal of the King Padella's letter that he allows his eggs to get cold and leaves his august muffins untasted.
What? The wicked, brave, delightful Prince Bulbo. So handsome, so accomplished, so witty.
Who told you about him, Angelica?
A little bird.
What little bird? I have only just received the official news of Prince Bulbo's visit.
But I have seen him. Signor Lorenzo showed me the portrait he painted.
People do say Signor Lorenzo's portraits are too flattering.
Not at all, Mama. I am above flattery. I don't think he made my picture beautiful enough. Personally, I cannot wait to see Prince Bulbo for myself.
Poor Giglio.
Bother Giglio.
He has been quite ill, and people were rather unkind.
Well, of course they were. He's so very stupid.
I wish Giglio were...
Was better? Yes, dear, he is. Much better. Angelica's little maid Betsinda told me so this morning when she came to my room with my early morning tea.
You're always drinking tea.
It's better than drinking port or brandy and water.
Can we please return to the subject of Prince Bulbo's visit?
Yes, my dear, what else were we talking about?
We must have some parties. I prefer dinners, of course. You'll be for grand balls. As to that, I must say I'm tired of your everlasting blue velvet. I should like you to have a new necklace as well. Order one. Not more than 100 or 150 pounds.
And Giglio, dear?
Giglio may go to the devil.
Oh, sir, your own nephew, our late king's only son.
Giglio may go to the tailor's and order the bills to be sent to Prime Minister Gumbozo to pay. Give him a couple of guineas for pocket money, my dear. And you may as well order yourself some bracelets while you're about the necklace, Mrs. Lee.
Oh, thank you, my dear. Thank you. Come along, Angelica. Let's take those curl papers out of your hair and then we can put our heads together and make sure that everything is just as it should be to welcome the prince.
Oh, Prince Bulbo, the conqueror of Rimbombamentia, where he slew 10,000 giants.
When they were gone, the smile that had lighted up the eyes of the husband and father fled. The pride of the king fled. The man was alone. Had I the pen of a GPR James, I would describe Valoroso's torments in the choicest language, in which I would also depict his flashing eye, his distended nostril, his dressing gown, pocket handkerchief, and boots. But I need not say I have not the pen of that novelist. Suffice it to say, Valoroso was alone. He rushed to the cupboard and drew out a bottle of cognac and filled and emptied his cup several times.
Ah, now Valoroso is himself again. But, oh, ere I was a king, I needed not this intoxicating draught. Well may England's dramatist remark, uneasy lies the head that wears a crown. Why did I steal my nephew's, my young Giglio's? Steal? No, 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 not steal. I took, and on my manly head I set, the royal crown of Paphlagonia. Could a poor snivelling, drivelling boy bear up the awful weight of the crown and meet in fight the tough Crimean foe?
And then the monarch went on to argue in his own mind, though we need not say that blank verse is not argument, that what he had got, it was his duty to keep.
And if a certain marriage could take place, should Bulbo and Angelica agree, uniting both our kingdoms into one, these bloody and expensive wars would end twixt Paphlagonia and Crim Tartary. Then Giglio would not win back his throne. And were my brother Savio still alive to bring about an union such as this, the crown from his own son, he'd will away.
Thus easily do we deceive ourselves. And so long as Valoroso gave them plenty of money and lucrative places, the Paphlagonian nobility did not care who was king. And as for the people in those early times, they were equally indifferent.
Angelica, my dear, are you going up to see poor dear Giglio?
No, Mama, not now. I'm going to my room to order Betsinda to lay out all my dresses so that I can decide how many new ones I need for Prince Bulbo's visit.
How sensible of you, my dear. Oh, I have been trying to decide since before breakfast when I should go and see him. But you are right. Business first, pleasure afterwards. I will go and see dear Giglio this afternoon. Now I will drive to the jeweler's to look for the necklace and bracelets.
The princess went up to her own room, and as for Giglio, they forgot him as much as I forget what I had for dinner last Tuesday twelvemonth. Between the kingdoms of Paphlagonia and Crim Tartary, there lived a mysterious personage who was known in those countries as the fairy Blackstick, from the ebony wand or crutch with which she performed her wonders. She was always practicing her skill, whizzing about from one kingdom to another on her black stick and conferring her fairy favours upon this prince or that. She had scores of royal godchildren, turned numberless wicked people into beasts, birds, millstones, clocks, pumps, bootjacks, umbrellas, or absurd shapes. And in a word, was one of the most active and officious of the whole college of fairies. But after 2 or 3 thousand years of this sport, Blackstick grew tired of it.
I am beginning to think I do as much harm as good by my performances. I might as well shut up and let things take their natural course.
So she locked up her books in her cupboard and scarcely used her wand at all except as a cane to walk about with. And now we must go back in time. A young lifetime for the suffering Prince Giglio, the impatient Princess Angelica, and the eagerly awaited Prince Bulbo, but a mere blink of an eyelash for the disgruntled Fairy Blackstick.
Well, 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 what a fine gilt-edged invitation. Who is presuming to bother me this time?
The Duke and Duchess Padella invite the Fairy Blackstick to the christening of their newborn son, Prince Bulbo.
Well, Madam Duchess, our precious little boy needs a fairy godmother, does he? What kind of a goddaughter did you turn out to be, you and Savio's silly little wife? I gave each of you a present to make you forever charming in your husband's eyes. And what good did my rose and my ring do the pair of you? None on earth. Having all your whims indulged by your foolish husbands, you turned out capricious, lazy, bad-tempered, and vain. And the way you patronize me when I pay you a visit, me, the very Blackstick who could have turned you into baboons by a single wave of my rod, got you, indeed. How do you like my answer to your kind invitation? The Fairy Blackstick, Fairy Godmother retired, presents her compliments to the Duke and Duchess Padella and declines their invitation to the christening of their infant son, Bulbo. She further begs that they accept the gift of this silver pap boat. Worth almost 2 guineas to feed your gluttonous infant, your greedy graces.
About the same time.
Her Majesty, the Queen of Paphlagonia, has presented His Majesty King Savio with a son and heir, Prince Giglio. And all grand personages are summoned to the christening.
Oh, Your Majesty, isn't he the most beautiful baby in the world? Lying there in his little cradle, every inch a prince.
Very handsome, the image of His Majesty.
And the celebrated Fairy Blackstick is to be his godmother. I wonder what she'll give him.
Oh, a flying horse or an invisible jacket is customary in the circumstances.
A Fortunatus purse that is never empty is always acceptable.
Dear Fairy Blackstick, we are so pleased. Here is my darling, darling Giglio asleep in his cradle, waiting for your blessing.
My poor child, the best thing I can send you is a little misfortune.
And this was all she would utter, to the disgust of Giglio's parents, who died very soon after, when Giglio's uncle Valoroso took the throne. In like manner, when Cavolfiore, king of Crim Tartary, had a christening of his only child, Rosalba, the Fairy Blackstick was no more gracious than in Prince Giglio's case.
My good woman!
For the fairy was very familiar, and no more minded a queen than a washerwoman.
These people who are following you will be the first to turn against you. And as for this little lady, the best thing I can wish her is a little misfortune.
So she touched Rosalba with her black wand, looked severely at the courtiers, motioned the queen an adieu with her hand, and sailed slowly up into the air, out of the window.
Oh, my poor little Rosalba.
What an odious fairy!
As if we would ever turn against our beloved royal family.
Would we allow misfortune to come near our sweet princess?
Never! Never! Never!
And how did these fine courtiers show their fidelity? One of King Cavolfiore's vassals, the Duke Padella, rebelled against the king who went out to chastise his rebellious subject.
How dare he rebel against our beloved and august monarch?
How dare anyone resist him?
He will bring home Padella,
a prisoner, and tie him to a donkey's tail, and
drive him round the town, saying,
This is the way the great Cavalfiore treats rebels!
The king went forth to vanquish Padella, and the poor queen, who was a timid, anxious creature, grew frightened and ill.
Wonderful news, Your Majesty.
Shh! How dare you burst in like that? Her Majesty is asleep.
But I have the most splendid news. The Crim Tartary Court Journal has just arrived, and it says that His Majesty has had a great victory over that wicked, wicked Padella. Surely that is just what is needed to restore the Queen to health.
I'm afraid it's too late. Her Majesty is too weak now, even for good news.
Oh. Yes, Majesty. What is it?
What should we do?
Promise me, whatever happens, you will take care of my precious Rosalba when I am gone.
Oh, Your Majesty, you will be here for many years. Oh.
Don't contradict. You will only upset her. Of course, Your Majesty. We will take every care of the princess, the little angel.
Don't let her fall into any danger.
No, as if we would. She will be safe with us.
We will guard her with our lives.
What are we going to do?
Yes, but can it be true?
It's in the court journal. It must be true.
Yeah, but what does it say?
It states quite clearly the King Cavolfiore has been defeated and put to death by His Majesty King Padella the First.
At this news, half the courtiers ran off to pay their duty to the conquering chief, and the other half ran away, laying hands on all the best articles in the palace, and poor little Rosalba was left there quite alone. And she toddled down the great staircase into the hall, and nobody was there. And the door was open, and she went into the court, and into the garden, and thence into the forest.
Indeed. Let it be reported in the court journal that His Majesty King Padella is as mighty a hunter as he is an all-conquering general.
Yes, indeed I am. Bagged a couple of lion cubs, did I?
Yes, Majesty.
Where are they then?
You're begging your pardon, Your Majesty. Those cubs Your Majesty shot, one of them had this little shoe in its mouth, and the other one had this bit of blue velvet. Looks like a little bit of a cloak.
Ah, so the poor little princess is done for. Well, what's done can't be helped. Gentlemen, let's go to luncheon.
And one of the courtiers took up the shoe and put it in his pocket. And there was an end of Rosalba. When the Princess Angelica was born, her parents did not ask the Fairy Blackstick to the christening party.
What did Fairy Blackstick mean exactly, Valeroso, my dear?
Blessed if I know.
A little misfortune. We don't want that for our precious baby, do we? When you invite a fairy to a christening, you expect proper gifts, jewels, lifelong beauty, magic, things.
Well, she's not coming to Angelica's christening. This is rough enough.
Yes, Your Highness.
Stop fussing over Angelica.
Oh, but she is the best baby princess in the world, isn't she? The little, boo-ful,
good. Yes, yes, I know. Be so good as to send that good-for-nothing husband of yours to me straight away.
Yes, Your Highness. At once, Your Highness.
There you are, Mrs. Dow. The problem is solved. I shall give Gruffanuff strict instructions not to admit Blackstick if she turns up.
But he's so coarse and rude.
Exactly why I chose him. Best kind of a porter a prince can have.
We don't want to offend Fairy Blackstick, though, do we?
No, no, Mrs. Val. We'll leave it to Gruffanuff.
Jenkins! Where are you? Jenkins, Gruffanuff, I'm warning you. If you're still in bed, you lazy good-for-nothing gah! Just as I thought, you addle-pated pudding guts. Get up! This minute, His Highness wants to speak to you. Though why anybody should want to clap eyes on you, you bone-idle lump of...
My quiet woman, my head's splitting enough without your caterwauling.
Your head'll be more than splitting when I've finished with you. And you wouldn't have an headache in the first place if you didn't spend all your time guzzling beer in that low, common public house, pouring all our money down your miserable throat.
Will you stop nagging, woman?
Will you get up and go and see what his highness wants? Oh, do you want me to throw this jug at your stupid head?
Oh, you put that down.
Out of bed, now, or else...
Now this fellow tried his rudeness once too often. For the fairy Blackstick, coming to call on the prince and princess, who were actually sitting at the open drawing room window, Jenkins not only denied they were in at all, but made the most odious, vulgar sign as he went to slam the door in the fairy's face.
Get a lie hole, Blackstick! I tell you, master and missus ain't at home to you!
And he was going to slam the door.
I think not, my good man.
And she prevented the door from being shut. Gruffanuff came back out in a fury, swearing in the most abominable way.
Do you think I'm going to stay at this here door all day?
Yes, you are going to stay at that door all day and all night and for many a long year.
Who am I? If that's a good daddy.
As the fairy waved her wand over him, he felt himself rising off the ground and fluttering up against the door. And then, as if a screw ran into his stomach, he felt a dreadful pain there and was pinned to the door. And then his arms flew up over his head, and his legs, after writhing about wildly, twisted under his body, and he felt cold growing over him as if he was turning into metal. And then he could say no more, because he was done. He was turned into metal. He was neither more nor less than a door knocker. And there he was, nailed to the door in the blazing summer day till he burned almost red hot, and all the bitter winter nights till his brass nose was dripping with icicles. And the postman came and rapped at him, and the housemaid came and scrubbed his nose with sandpaper. And when the door was repainted, the painters dabbed him over the mouth and eyes and nearly choked him as they turned him pea green. As for his wife, she did not miss him. And when the prince and princess chose to become king and queen, they left their old house and nobody thought of the porter any more. And Mrs. Gruffanuff, by flattering her royal mistress, became a favourite with the queen, who was rather a weak woman. And Her Majesty gave her a title and made her nursery governess to the princess. One day, when Princess Angelica was quite a little girl, she was walking in the garden of the palace.
Don't run so fast.
You're so slow. I want to feed this barn to the ducks and the swans on the royal pond.
But, Highness, you must stay under this parasol to keep your sweet complexion from the freckles. What is that?
I think it's a little girl. It's very dirty. Look at all that hair all over its face.
No, keep away from her. She hasn't been washed or combed for ever so long.
She's only got one shoe and a nasty, ragged bit of a cloak.
You little wretch, who let you in here? Their Majesties and Prince Giglio are coming along the path. Go away, you nasty little thing.
Give me that bun. You're very hungry.
Hungry? What is that? Here you are.
Oh, Princess, how good, how kind, how truly angelical you are.
Hello, what's all this?
Well, see, Your Majesties, how kind the Princess is. She met this dirty little wretch in the garden. I can't tell you how she came in here or why the guards didn't shoot her dead at the gate. And the dear darling of a princess has given her the whole of her bun.
I didn't want it.
But you are a darling, darling little angel all the same.
Yes. I know I am. Dirty little girl, don't you think I'm very pretty?
Oh, yes. Pretty. Pretty.
And she capered about, laughing and dancing and munching her bun. And as she ate it, she began to sing.
Oh, what fun to have a plum bun. How I wish for dinner.
What an extraordinary little creature.
Why has she got that funny accent?
I don't know, but it does make one laugh.
I can dance, and I can sing, and I can do all sorts of things.
Who's your mother? Who are your relations, little girl?
Little Lionwood, my brother. Great big Lioness, my mother. Never heard of any other.
And she capered away on her one shoe.
What an amusing little thing it is.
Mama, my parrot flew away yesterday out of its cage, and I don't care any more for any of my toys. And I think this funny little dirty child will amuse me. I'll take her home and give her some of my old frocks.
Oh, the generous darling.
Which I'm tired of. Will you come home with me, little dirty girl?
Go home with you. Yes, you porty princess. Have a nice dinner. Oh, well. Come along then, little dirty girl.
She looks presentable enough now. She's been scrubbed and had her hair combed.
Yes, Lady Gruffanuff, she's a pretty little thing. Mm. Now we can see her face. Mm. In that frock Orionis gave her, she looks as pretty as the princess herself.
No, she doesn't. Just because she's wearing my old frock doesn't mean she looks...
Stupid girl! It is obvious you do not understand what it is to be royal. No one is as pretty as Princess Angelica, are they, my precious?
No. They're not.
No, nor as clever. And you silly girl, dare to compare this little wretch with such a paragon. Don't let me hear you talking such nonsense again.
No, Mum.
We don't want her to get conceited. She mustn't forget how unworthy she is. I know. Give me that ragged bit of cloak and that disgusting shoe. I shall put them in this glass case with the card. These were the old clothes in which little Betsinda was found when, with great goodness and admirable kindness, Her Royal Highness the Princess Angelica received the little outcast. Now I shall lock the box up. And you, Betsinda, you little wretch, you are to look at this box every day and remember to be grateful.
Yes, Mum, I will.
For a while, little Betsinda was a great favourite with the princess. But then the princess got a monkey, and afterwards a little dog, and afterwards a little doll, and did not care for Betsinda any more. And then, as she grew older, she was made a little lady's maid to the princess. So the two girls grew up.
Hello, Your Highness, how beautifully you play. Oh, it's you, Betsinda. What are you doing at the piano?
I was just playing over the piece Princess Angelica's music master taught her yesterday.
What impertinence! How dare you play the piano so that it sounds like the dear princess herself?
I'm sorry, Countess Gruffanuff.
I should think so, too. Have you finished your Highness's frock yet?
I just have to sew on the lace and catch up the hem.
Then you should get on with it, instead of giving yourself airs playing the piano. Just because you are allowed to sit in the corner during the princess's lessons, it doesn't mean you should push yourself forward and learn anything on your own account.
No, Mum.
This drawing. The warrior's head. Did you do this?
No, Mum. That is, I only finished it. Princess Angelica began it, but she had to go out to an evening party, and she asked, she told me to finish it.
I thought so. It is obvious from the elegance of the drawing whose work it is. There is genius in every line from her hand. Where is the dear girl now?
She's walking in the garden with Prince Giglio.
Is she? Alone? At this time of the evening?
Such a beautiful night. Look at the stars, Giglio. Like diamonds flung across black velvet.
Yes.
Look, there is the great bear.
Where? Oh, don't be afraid, Angelica. If a dozen bears come, I will kill them rather than let them hurt you.
Oh, you silly creature. You're very good, but you aren't very wise. Don't you know anything of heavenly bodies?
No, actually.
Ugh, I don't know why I bother with you. It's the same in the daytime. You don't know the names of any of the flowers. You know nothing about butterflies. In fact, you're totally ignorant of botany and entomology. I don't believe you've even heard of Linnaeus. Yeah. You're not exactly learned, are you?
I manage. After all, no one's as learned as you.
I think Angelica probably valued her own learning too much. But to think too well of oneself is the fault of people of all ages and both sexes. When nobody else was there, Angelica liked her cousin well enough. But there were villains at court, who did not like Giglio at all.
But, Mr. Glenbeza, this is the most dreadful news. Did Dr. Pildrafto tell you so himself?
No, certainly not. He would never betray a medical confidence. But King Valoroso's health is not robust, and he's so fond of good dinners that I very much fear...
But last night he only ate 9 of the 12 courses Monsieur Marmitonio prepared for him. I saw it with my own eyes.
Nevertheless, the whole court knows that he cannot live long, given his delicate health and his far from delicate appetite.
But if Giglio marries Angelica...
And comes to the throne...
What a pretty position we shall be in. I should have to give up all the jewels and laces and rings and snuff boxes that belong to his mother.
A mere trifle. I shall have to refund the small matter of 217,987,439 pounds, 13 shillings and sixpence halfpenny, which was left to Giglio by his poor dear father, King Savio.
So much.
I thought it my duty as Prime Minister to expropriate... take care of the money, Prince Giglio being a mere infant.
No! What are we going to do?
We must make sure that Angelica doesn't marry him.
But it is Her Majesty's dearest wish.
Her Majesty's wishes change from hour to hour. I shall see to it that the Queen and the whole court turn against him and Angelica despises him. And you must make sure that the Princess bestows her affections on Prince Balbo. Mm. Now, we must set the whisperers to work about the court. A prince, and he can't even spell Valoroso.
Puts 2 L's in it. Drinks far too much wine at dinner.
Always idling in the stables with the grooms.
Knows nothing of Paphlagonia's glorious history.
Falls asleep in church.
There's ever so much money at the pastry cook's.
Wastes time playing cards with the pages.
Has such vulgar associates. Good for nothing but dancing, riding, hunting, and sword fighting.
Completely ignorant of geography, literature, languages.
Unlike the dear princess, who knows all there is to know.
Oh, Giglio, why are you so stupid?
All this backbiting and slander had effect upon Princess Angelica, who began to treat him so unkindly that poor Giglio became quite ill and sent for the doctor.
Angelica? Oh, it's you, Betsinda.
Yes, Prince Giglio. I've brought you your gruel.
Betsinda, how is the Princess Angelica?
The princess is very well, my lord.
If Angelica were sick, I'm sure I should not be very well. Has she asked after me today?
No, my lord, not today. She was very busy, writing out invitations for an evening party.
Oh.
I've brought you some roast chicken and jelly, as well as your gruel. Do you think you could manage to eat a little?
I don't know. I shouldn't think so.
The princess made the jelly and the bread sauce with her own hands.
Oh, yes, I could.
All this was not strictly consonant with the truth, for Betsinda was such a good-natured creature that she strove to do everything to prevent annoyance to Prince Giglio.
Good evening, thought I'd come to see how my patient is doing.
Good evening, Dr. Pildrafto.
What's this? Roast chicken? Very unsuitable for invalids. What's the good of my bleeding you night and morning if you guzzle roast chicken? Gruel, my boy, nothing but gruel if you want to recover. Take this away, my good girl.
Yes, sir.
Now, young man, no need to bother with the gruel.
Betsinda, please tell Angelica.
It's high time you were bled again.
Signor Lorenzo, may I be permitted to take one more peek at the portrait of Prince Balbo?
But of course, dear lady. Ecco, look!
Oh, I never saw anyone so handsome.
What a prince! So brave, so calm-looking. What a hero.
He knows all languages perfectly, sings deliciously, composes operas which have been performed at the Imperial Theatre of Crim Tartary, and danced in a ballet there in which he looked so beautiful that his cousin, the lovely daughter of the King of Circassia, died for love of him.
Why did he not marry the poor princess?
Because they were first cousins, madame. And, besides, the younger prince had given his heart elsewhere.
And to whom?
I am not at liberty to mention the princess's name.
But you may tell me the first letter of it.
That, your highness, is at liberty to guess.
Does it begin with a Z?
No.
Why?
No, princess.
X?
No.
D?
No.
C?
No.
B?
No!
Oh, dearest Gruffanuff, lend me your smelling bottle. Signor, can it be A?
It is A. And though I may not, by my royal master's orders, tell your royal highness the princess's name, I may show you her portrait. Oh. Here, princess. We draw aside of the curtain. Et voilà. The Lady Prince Bulbo adores.
Oh, this isn't a portrait, Signor Lorenzo. It's a looking glass.
No. Put the flowers inside the portrait of Prince Bulbo, not in front of it. That's better. And now take the covers from the chairs and the bags from the chandeliers and store them away quickly. I want to see the effect of... Good heavens! Gillian!
Angelica, what's happening? Why are the servants moving all the furniture and covering the curtains? Is there going to be a party? Is that why you've got your hair in papers at this time of day, Angelica?
Off you go. Quickly now, all of you. What are you doing here dressed like that? What a sight you are, dear.
Yes, dear Angelica. I have come downstairs because I feel so well today, thanks to the fowl and the jelly...
What do I know about fowls and jellies that you allude to them in that rude way?
Oh, I didn't... Didn't you send them, Angelica dear?
No, Giglio dear. I was engaged in getting the rooms ready for His Royal Highness the Prince of Crim Tartary, who's coming to pay my papa's court a visit.
Prince of Crim Tartary?
Yes. I dare say you've never even heard of Crim Tartary. You don't know whether Crim Tartary is on the Red Sea or the Black Sea, I dare say.
Yes, I do. It's on the Red Sea.
You ninny! You're so ignorant, you're not fit for society. Go and put your best clothes on to receive the prince and let me get the drawing room ready.
Oh, Angelica, I didn't think this of you. This wasn't your language to me when you gave me this ring, and I gave you mine in the garden, and you gave me that...
Out, you saucy, rude creature! As for your little trumpery, tuppenny ring... There, sir! There! Out of the window it goes!
It was my mother's marriage ring.
I don't care whose marriage ring it was. Marry the person who picks it up, if she's a woman. You shan't marry me.
Now Angelica little knew that the ring Giglio had given her was the magic ring that Fairy Blackstick had given his mother. If a man wore it, all the women were in love with him. If a woman, all the gentlemen.
Yes, I know who give me much finer things.
And then, as if his eyes had been open...
Is this the woman I have been in love with all my life? Have I been such a ninny as to throw away my regard upon you? Why, actually, yes, you are a little crooked.
Oh, you wretch!
And upon my conscience, you squint a little.
Hey.
And you are marked with the smallpox, and you have three false teeth, and one leg shorter than the other, and your hair is red!
You brute!
Royal Highnesses, their majesties expect you in the pink throne room, where they await the arrival of the Prince of Crim Tartary.
Jacket boy, hurry up! Prince Bulbo will be here any minute. And don't drag my train like that. It's the finest Paphlagonian silk, you ugly little wretch.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
What's that? Over there, something sparkling. Go and pick it up.
Yes, ma'am.
Gracious be.
Ma'am, it's a ring, ma'am.
The boy looks like a little Cupid. Thank you, my... Dear little... Oh, it's too small for me. What a pity. Never mind. I'll keep it in my pocket.
Oh, Mum, how beautiful you do look today, Mum.
And you too, Jackie, she was going to say. But looking down at him, no, he was no longer a little Cupid at all, but only the carroty-haired little Jackie of the morning.
But walk on, boy, or we shall be late.
His Royal Highness, Prince Bulbo of Crim Tartary, and his chamberlain, Baron Slyboots.
Isn't he handsome, even wearing his travelling dress with his hair in disorder?
So romantic, he's in such haste.
Carrying a beautiful rose.
Has he bought it for her, do you think?
I have ridden 300 miles since breakfast, so eager was I to behold the princess, august family of Paphlagonia, that I could not wait 1 minute before appearing in your Majesty's presence.
Your R.H. is welcome in any dress.
Any dress His Royal Highness wears is a court dress.
Ah, but you should see my other clothes. Yes, I should have had them on, but that stupid carrier has not brought them. Laughing.
I was laughing because you said just now you were in such a hurry to see the princess that you could not wait to change your dress. And now you say you came in those clothes because you have no others.
And who are you?
My father was king of this country, and I am his only son, Prince.
Dear Prince Bulbo, I forgot to introduce to your Royal Highness my dear nephew, His Royal Highness Prince Giglio. Giglio, shake hands with His Royal Highness.
You're very welcome, Bulbo.
Thank you, Giglio.
Would Your Highness care to sit down? A chair.
Ah, yes, thank you.
Oh, no. Look. Glumboso's put the chair too near the edge of the platform.
As he tumbled to the floor, the prince dropped. Something.
He's very plain, isn't he? Rather stout. Rather short. Rather red hair. Not very handsome for a prince.
My rose. My rose. Slyboots, where's my rose?
Here it is, Your Highness, quite unharmed.
Thank goodness. Give it to me. My mother said I must never part with it. It's a fairy rose, you know.
I do think red hair suits princes, and they shouldn't be too tall or too thin. He's very good looking for a prince.
Will you come sit beside me, dear prince? It's quite safe here.
Oh, enchanted, dear princess.
Meanwhile, behind the throne...
I could sit here forever with you, dear madam.
Why were you so cruel to Prince Bulbo, dear prince?
Because I hate him.
You are jealous of him? And still love poor Angelica?
I did, but I love her no more. I despise her.
Oh, do not say so, dear prince.
Besides, I am so happy here, behind the throne, that I would not change my place. No, not for the throne of the world.
No. You're traveling about behind there. It's time to dress for dinner. Prince, if your clothes have not come, we shall be very happy to see you as you are.
But when Prince Bulbo got to his bedroom, his luggage was there and unpacked, and the hairdresser coming in cut and curled him entirely to his own satisfaction. And when the dinner bell rang, the royal party had not to wait above 25 minutes until Bulbo appeared.
He had only to go to his room and come straight down again. Where is he, Slyboots?
The prince is anxious to appear his best before your highnesses.
The dinner will be ruined, and you know how much I like goose with stuffing and onion sauce. I don't want it spoiled.
Oh, Papa, don't be so impatient. I'm sure Prince Bulbo's worth a few minutes of our time.
And over by the window...
Sweetest Gruffy, no, don't move. There is no lovelier picture in the world than you standing there, the light falling on your beautiful face.
Oh, Prince Giglio. Oh.
Countess Gruffanuff, may I beg a word with you?
Not now, Glumboso. Can't you see that I'm talking to Prince
Giglio? We must speak
later!
His Royal Highness, the Prince of Crim Tartary!
Is this what we have been waiting for all this time? I don't know which is more absurd, his precious curls or that overblown rose he's wearing.
Oh, fie, fie, the prince will hear you.
Well, I don't mind.
Come along, come along. Now that we're all here, let us go into dinner. I'm sure you're as hungry as I am. Prince, you take out Angelica.
Oh, with pleasure. My arm, Your Highness, may I?
You may, sir.
Their Highnesses make a handsome couple, Slyboots.
Let us hope that an alliance between Paphlagonia and Crim Tartary is imminent.
It is King Padella's dearest wish.
After dinner, His Majesty and the Queen went to sleep in their armchairs. This was the time when Giglio began his tricks with Prince Bulbo, plying that young gentleman with port, sherry, Madeira, champagne, cherry brandy, and pale ale, all of which Bulbo drank without stint. But in plying his guest, Giglio was obliged to drink himself, and I am sorry to say, took more than was good for him, so that the young men were very noisy, rude, and foolish when they joined the ladies after dinner. And dearly did they pay for that imprudence, as now, my darlings, you shall hear.
May I, dear princess?
I had wishes to pay to Count Cordos of a heart.
Dear Countess, I have been away from you for too long, but I swear you have grown even lovelier in my absence.
Oh, Giglio.
There was never such a darling as you. Marry me, my angel.
Oh, Prince. Dear Prince, how can we? I am too, I am a little older than you. Oh,
fiddlesticks. I will marry you. I will have no one but you.
Oh,
thank you. Whoops. I seem to have upset the coffee. Sorry.
I'll bring you some more, sir.
Oh, yes, do that. Oh, their majesties look so comfortable fast asleep in their armchairs. I could do a little snooze myself. That's better.
Boo, the nasty pig. But as he lay there, stretched on the pink satin sofa, Angelica still persisted in thinking him the most beautiful of human beings. No doubt the magic rose which Bulbo wore caused this infatuation on Angelica's part. But is she the first young woman who has thought a silly fellow charming?
This is to give notice that I, Giglio, only son of Savio, king of Paphlagonia, hereby promise to marry the charming and virtuous Barbara Griselda, Countess Gruffanuff, widow of the late Jenkins Gruffanuff, Esquire.
What is it you are writing, my charming Gruffy?
Oh, it's only an order for you to sign, dear Prince, for giving coals and blankets to the poor this cold, cold weather.
Give me the pen.
Mm.
There it is.
When she had it in her pocket, she was ready to flounce out of the room before the Queen herself, as now she was to be the wife of the rightful King of Paphlagonia.
Now, Queen Griselda. Now, Griselda Paphlagonia. Now, Barbara Regina. Griselda Barbara Pathreg.
Come in.
To put your hair in papers, Mum.
Betsinda. You dressed my hair very nicely today. I promised you a little present. Here are five here is a pretty little ring that I picked up that I've had for some time.
It's like the ring the princess used to wear.
Oh, no such thing. I've had this for ever so long. It's rather small.
It fits me perfectly. Thank you, Mum.
Yeah, well, now... Tuck me up all comfortable now. And as it is a very cold night, you may take the warming pan and warm Prince Giglio's bed. And then you may unrip my green silk, and then you can just run me up a little cap for the morning. And then you can mend that hole in my silk stocking. And then you can go to bed. Mind, I shall want my cup of tea at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, ma'am. I suppose I'd best warm both the young gentlemen's beds first, ma'am. I've come to warm your bed, sir.
Oh, what a beautiful creature you are, you angel, you rosebud. Fly to the desert, fly with me. Be mine, be princess of Prim Tartary. My royal father will approve our union, and as for that little carroty-haired Angelica, I do not care a fig for her anymore.
Go away, your royal highness, and go to bed, please.
No, never till thou swearest to be mine, thou lovely, blushing chambermaid divine. Here at thy feet the royal Bulbo lies, the trembling captive of Betsinda's eyes.
Please don't be so ridiculous. Get up at once, sir, or I'll...
Ow. Ow, oh, divine creature, even if you go on hitting me with a warming pan, I shall love you forever.
What are you doing? Get up off your knees and leave her alone, you great booby.
Giglio, in a fury, kicked Bulbo in the rudest manner up to the ceiling and went on kicking him till his hair was quite out of curl.
Oh, Giglio, do please stop. All that kicking will hurt your foot.
Oh, stop it. Oh, leave me alone. I'll just go and sit in the corner and see if I'm all right.
Be off with you then. Oh, Betsinda, give me your hand. On my knees, I beg you to accept my heart. Let us be married at once.
Fancy Betsinda's condition, who had been in love with the prince ever since she first saw him in the palace garden when she was quite a little child.
Oh, divine Betsinda! How have I lived 15 years in my company without seeing thy perfections? What woman in all Europe, Asia, Africa, and America, nay, in Australia, only it is not yet discovered, can presume to be thy equal?
Oh, prince, I am but a poor chambermaid.
Oh, didst thou not tend me in my sickness when all forsook me? Didst not thy gentle hand smooth my pillow and bring me jelly and roast chicken?
Yes, dear prince, I did.
Oh, no, Betsinda, no! How can you look at him like that? Be mine! Oh!
You blubbering booby, tearing your hair in handfuls like a great baby. How dare you kneel down at Princess Giglio's feet and kiss her hand?
Oh, please do stop. If you're going to quarrel and fight like this, I shall run away.
She's not Princess Giglio. She shall be Princess Bulbo. No other shall be Princess Bulbo.
You are engaged to my cousin.
I hate your cousin.
You shall give your satisfaction for insulting her.
I'll have your life.
I'll run you through.
I'll cut your throat.
I'll blow your brains out.
I'll knock your head off.
I'll send my seconds to you in the morning.
I'll send a bullet into you in the afternoon.
We'll meet again. And don't you dare touch that warming pan. Her divine hand has carried it. Oh, let me kiss it. Betsinda, where's she gone? Downstairs.
What's all this noise? How can anyone sleep with all that row? What are you doing down there, Betsinda? I just think it's now burning.
It's the young gentleman smoking, perhaps, sir.
Charming chambermaid. Never mind the young men. Turn thine eyes on a middle-aged autocrat who has been considered not ill-looking in his day.
Oh, sir! What will Her Majesty say?
Her Majesty be hanged! Have I not sacks to sew up wives withal? Say but the word that thou wilt be mine own. Your mistress straightway in a sack is sewn, and thou the share of my heart and throne.
But sins are my love. What? How dare you, sir?
Oh, no! What have you done? You have killed the king and dented the warming pan. Fly at once! Fly! Fly!
I'd better take to my heels, I think.
Oh, my dear Valeroso husband, speak to your Mrs. Val.
Papa, who has done this to you?
His Majesty in this posture, flat as a pancake underneath a warming pan? If he did, what villain has done this dreadful deed?
As soon as the coals began to burn him, the king came to himself and stood up. Oh, piteous spectacle. The king's nose was bent, quite crooked, by the blow of Prince Giglio. His Majesty ground his teeth with rage.
Oh, Captain of the Guard, heads off!
Majesty!
Heads off. Take this death warrant. Where is it? Confound this dressing-gown pocket. Take this death warrant, good Hetzhoff. Seize upon the prince. Just now he dared with sacrilegious hand to strike the nightcap of the king, Hetzhoff, and throw me with a warming pan. Away, no more demur. The villain dies. See it done or else. Mind thine own eyes. Mrs. Val, Angelica, follow me. You may minister to me in my apartment.
Your poor Giglio, my noble young prince. Is it my hand must lead thee to thy death?
No, lead him to fiddlesticks, Hetzhoff. The king said you were to hang the prince. Well, hang the prince.
I don't understand you.
He didn't say which prince, you gabby.
No, he didn't say which, certainly.
Well, then take Bulbo and hang him.
Ah, obedience is a soldier's honour. Prince Bulbo's head will do capitally. I shall arrest the prince first thing tomorrow morning.
Who's there?
Captain Hetzhoff, sir. It's Dawn, sir.
Ah, oh, Captain Hedzoff, step in, my good captain. I'm delighted to see you. I have been expecting you.
Have you?
Of course, Captain, you have come about that affair with Prince Giglio.
Precisely. That affair of Prince Giglio.
Well, is it to be swords or pistols, Captain? I'm pretty good with both, and I'll do for Prince Giglio as sure as my name is my Royal Highness, Prince Bulber.
There's some mistake, my lord. Our business is done with axes.
Axes? That's sharp work. Call my chamberlain, he'll be my second, and in 10 minutes, I flatter myself, you'll see Prince Giglio's head off his impertinent shoulders. I'm hungry for his blood.
I beg your pardon, but by this warrant, I am to take your prisoner and hand you over to the executioner.
Pooh-pooh, my good man.
Seize him, guard!
Stop! Stop, I say!
Tie up his face and mouth with a handkerchief. Carry him to the place of execution.
What's all that commotion down in the square, Glumbo?
The guards are dragging a masked miscreant to the place of execution, Majesty.
So much for Giglio. Now, let's go to breakfast.
Yes. Chief, here is His Majesty's warrant.
At sight, cut off the bearer's head. Averroso... 24th.
It's a mistake.
Oh, Pooh-Pooh, send for the executioner. Send for Jack Ketch.
Send for Jack Ketch.
Send for Jack Ketch.
And poor Bulbo was led to the scaffold, where an executioner with a block and a tremendous axe was always ready in case he should be wanted.
In episode 1 of The Rose and the Ring by William Makepeace Thackeray, the fairy Blackstick was played by Prunella Scales, Countess Gruffenuff by Maureen Lipman, and Thackeray by Roger Allam. King Valoroso was Clive Swift, Glumboso and King Padella, John Normington, Captain Hedzoff, John Ringham, Angelica, Eleanor Tremaine, Betsinda, Lucy Taylor, Prince Bulbo, Charles Edwards, Prince Giglio, Christopher Staines, Queen Valoroso, the Duchess and the Nursemaid, Abigail Thor, Slyboots and Dr. Puldrafto, Max Digby, Jenkins Gruffenuff, Anthony Jackson, Queen Cavalfiore, Rachel Atkins, Queen Savio and the Countess, Kate Copeland, and the page boy, Julian Morris. The music was composed and conducted by Derek Bourgeois. The Rose and the Ring was adapted for radio by Ellen Dryden, directed by Don Taylor, and was an independent production by First Rights Radio for BBC Radio 4.